Our devotional background study today comes from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time, I'll ask teachers to take charge of the class.
I think I must be allergic to this building. Every time I come in here, my sinuses start draining. Everybody wants to talk today, don't they? I'm going to make you start singing again if you don't quiet down. Our title of our lesson today is Patience. This ought to be really good. 15th chapter of Romans, first verse. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to conform the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, in the reading of that lesson, it's hard to come up with the subject patience because it is mentioned twice, but I mean this lesson really concerns Paul's concern about the Jews and the Gentiles getting along together and being together and worshiping together and abiding one in the other. But since our lesson is entitled Patience, we'll just go back and we're going to address that, because face it, we don't live in a very patient world, and it's kind of timely to talk about this, because in the fourth and fifth verse of our lesson, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that means written in the Old Testament, because there was no New Testament, so what was written in the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now, we find that God is patient. Now, the word patience, according to Webster's dictionary, is the act of being patient. Forbearance, long-suffering. Now, first thing that came to my mind, because when I read scriptures, I like to put everything in context. from where it came from and who it was being written to and what it was about and how they lived, because what was written for people who never dreamed of being in this time and having what we have. This was written in a time when people were farmers. It was an agrarian society. And they lived on farms and vineyards and they raised animals. And so you have to think, why would somebody be talking about patience to people who had no thought of time? They didn't have clocks. They lived by their own time. They lived by the sun. They got up when the sun came up, and they went to bed when the sun went down. And in between time, they worked on the farm all day long with whatever chores or jobs that needed to be done. Fast forward some 2,000 years, and we are no longer an agrarian society. We are a service-oriented society. And we live not by the sun, we live by the clock. And as the government tells you, it doesn't make any difference where the sun is, this is the time. Because now we're on daylight saving time. And so the sun, wherever it's located, doesn't have any meaning anymore. But our clocks definitely have a meaning. How many people have a watch on today? You see, everybody has a watch on. So we know why we have these watches on. Because we have to be somewhere. You don't?
I have a phone.
Now see, that's going... See, that's taking...
I'm talking about your clock on your phone.
That's taking it another step, see, into the technology area where you don't even need a clock, you just need your phone. So we've left this patient-minded people, at least to my way of thinking, they had a lot more patience than probably what we find here, even in our group today. Let's take Brenda, for instance. Let's pick on my wife as an example. We have means today of finding more information quicker than any time ever in the world. Back even when we were kids, all of us were kids. If you need some information, it was a time-consuming event. If you needed some in-depth information and you had to make telephone calls or you had to go to the library or you had to go research this out, it was time-consuming. And now we have these computers that you just type in a word or a question, you punch a button, and it comes up. Now, I said about Brenda, I think she knows where I'm going to. We get the information just like this, but see, she, being the patient person that she is, she types in a question, and if that answer don't come back in 3 seconds, I'm afraid our laptop's going to be out in the front yard. You see the difference? We're getting less patient. You know, that's where we are. And I'll tell something on me. If I'm in a store and I'm standing in line trying to check out, and she knows where I'm going with this too, because I go off the deep end on this. And this usually occurs with women. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. But you're standing in this line, and this woman is checking out, and she's got $6,000 worth of groceries up there on the thing. And when she gets to, you know, she's standing there, and the woman says, that'll be $6,000. Well, this woman looks surprised that she's going to have to pay, because she doesn't have anything out of her pocketbook. She's standing there. And the woman says, this is going to be $6,000. And she goes, oh. And so she opens up a purse and starts digging through, trying to either find a credit card or a checkbook.
Or coupons.
And that just, I go off the deep end when that happens. I mean, we've been there an hour. I mean, she's had plenty of time to get this out, right? She's had plenty of time to get the money or whatever it takes out. But she stands there. Okay, so you see, we all... are suffering from a lack of patience. So, back to my original question. Why is the Scriptures talking about patience to people who I look back and think they had all kind of patience? And then I look at us and I say, we don't have any. But you know, I'm thinking that we don't have patience. And I don't know that we can help that. It's the society that we live in. We live in this fast-paced society. And you get accustomed to not having a lot of patience. So I don't think this is the type of patience that they're talking about. I think the patience that they're talking about is a spiritual patience. Some place that you can go inwardly and kind of commune with God on a one-to-one basis. Now, how does that affect us? Well, the patient part comes in the fact of finding time to do that. Now, we find a scripture that says about prayer that you need to find your closet. You know what that means? I don't mean you got to go look for a room. That just means you've got to go to a place inside. And you just got to close out the world. And you got to search out that place inside, deep inside, to where that you can commune one-on-one with God. Paul said in Hebrews, he says, for you have need of patience. And I don't think that's talking about patience standing in line because a woman won't take out her billfold and pay when I think she ought to. I think what Paul was referring to is the patience that we need to find within ourselves, because the Scripture says in the 4th verse, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, you see what kind of patience that is? That's a study of the Scriptures. That's going to a spot and kind of putting this world out of your mind. And it's like the old saying of stop and smelling to smell the roses. You know, there's some good to that saying right there. We all need some time to stop and give thought of God and His goodness to us and what He's done. How many times a day do we do that? How many times a day do we search out God? If we cannot search out our patience, how can we expect anything from a merciful God? Now, it has nothing to do with Brenda throwing our laptop out into the front yard. It has nothing to do with me standing in line fussing at her because some woman up there is not paying. It has to do with us searching out God and finding Him. Listen, on a daily basis, we need Him. He's been most merciful unto us. You know, it said that Webster's definition of patience was long suffering. And in the book of Numbers, in the 14th chapter, it says that the Lord is long suffering and of great mercy. Mull that over in your mind. He's long suffering and of great mercy. Isn't that the truth? But you know how you find that long-suffering God who is so full of mercy? You've got to take some time and search Him out. You've got to sit and contemplate. It takes thought. It takes work. It takes us doing something to find this God, to get ourselves in a place to where that He will look upon us with this mercy and this long-suffering. Listen, I'm just happy today that God is long-suffering. Because without His long-suffering, I would be in a heap of trouble this morning. Without His mercy and kindness and His love and His long-suffering ways, I would be in deep trouble. Because I fail Him every day. I fail Him. Because not of the secular patience that I've been talking about, but of my spiritual patience. Where I can't seem to find time sometime to sit and commune with God. Or to read His scriptures and run upon something that touches you and you sit and want to think about. How many times do we do that? How many times do we run upon something that really touches us and we just sit? You know, y'all know I like the word ponder. You know, Mary pondered in her heart. I love that for some reason. I just love that thought. We need to do more pondering. We need to do more thinking. We need to have more thought on this merciful God. How can we profess to be a child of God if we cannot find time for reflection on the goodness of God as our Creator? Listen, He saved my soul. I owe Him everything. I owe Him my life. But one day He looked down upon me and saved me from sin. That I, when I leave this world, whenever that might be, I've got a promised home in heaven with Him. Now, is it too much to ask for me to just slow down, sit down, and think of God's mercy? And what He's done for me and all the blessings that I have received, is that asking too much of me? When we know that He is a God of patience, that's what it says in Numbers. It says that He is long-suffering and of great, great mercy. And this search, or this state of mind regarding spiritual patience brings about our own spiritual growth. The more we think about God, the more we think about His blessings, the more we think about what He's done for us, doesn't it kind of encourage you to do more for Him? Doesn't it give you a mindset that you're thinking of God and you get wrapped up in those thoughts and what all He's done for you and makes you want to do a little something for Him, to work and serve Him. In the first chapter of James, in the third verse, Terry, read this. James said that the trying of your faith works patience. Now, we don't like trials and tribulations. None of us do. But there is a good side to trials and tribulations. Because what I see, the good side of trials and tribulations is, many times it helps focus our mind and our thought on God immediately. Have you ever had something to happen all of a sudden and a who's the first person you call upon? Who is it? It's God. Now, I know that the world calls upon God a lot. But I'm talking about us as children of God. I'm talking about things that happen to us. Things that come about. Things we weren't expecting. The first one that I believe we all can say we call upon is God Himself. And you know what? We want Him to hear. We want Him to. But sometimes we the distance between us and God is so far that we think He's not there. He's not listening to us. Well, I can guarantee you right now God is listening to us, but we may be far away from Him. There is no doubt that I have been far away from Him many times. But finding Him is a simple act of slowing down and searching Him out and looking for Him in places you may not have ever even thought of before. Now, you know, we're not all able to go to the top of a high mountain at any time of the day or night. And you know, I imagine most of us here have been to Gatlinburg and been up on top of the mountains. And you look off at the valleys and you just look off into the distance and you just see beauty that's just unspeakable almost. And you know that God is in that. And you can actually feel Him at times when you're looking up on the beauty that He made for this world. Well, we can't all get there to that place whenever it might be that we need God. So there's got to be some other place that we can find Him when we need Him. And that's some place inside that we can go to. And you know what? You can find Him. You can find Him there just as good as you can find Him on top of a mountain looking at all the beauty that He's made. And you can find Him there just as strong and just as powerful and just as willing to help carry whatever that load you might have. And that's where our patience needs to come in. We need to find this time that we can search out God and find Him in our heart. And ask Him to come in and help us. In other words, we have to find a place where we can divide the secular life away from our spiritual life. Some place that we can go and find comfort and get solace from God Himself. Because the Scriptures, He says, are written for our edification, for our learning. And when we read it, we need not just to read it. You know, y'all reading, I guess everybody, just about everybody is reading the Bible in a year's time or whatever. But we don't just need to read it. We need to take it to heart what it says. We need to think about it. We need to go to this place and separate ourselves from the secular part of the world and enter into that spiritual realm where we can expect blessings and mercy from a long-suffering God. So that's my lesson today. I may have scattered it around a little bit, but Paul said we have need of patience, and that we do. And I'm not thinking he's talking about the patience that I need standing in a line, although I know I need that patience too, but I think he's talking about the spiritual patience, something that'll do us all good, something that'll make us closer to God so that when we go to Him, and we plead with Him to help us for whatever trials and tribulations is, He's there. And you don't have to go looking for Him. Because He's right there. Because you're prayed up. And you're ready. And He's ready. Anyone have any questions? If not, Jimmy, would you dismiss us then?